The Debaucher, Part 3. The debaucher is not necessarily a person. It can be a memory or the absence of compelling memory or deliberately selective memory. It can be fear, because fear keeps us from choosing certain paths and consequently chooses other paths. It can be sudden love. It can be a sense of right and good, or a diverting taste of blood. It can jam us like a broken cash machine. It can be an act of sound, like rhyme. Rhyme makes poetry debauch. It leads a line regrettably astray. It jars us off into apposite thought. With sound, rhyme makes things touch that shouldn't touch. Caresses move from hand to knee to crotch, oh so quickly when rhyme's allowed its way. And then everything changes instantly. Adjacent thoughts that had been friendly and pragmatic, now set aflame by rhyme, become dramatic. A rhyme can give a word radical new meaning. When Byron rhymes bottle with Aristotle, makes me want to drink metaphysics ice cold on a hot day without a glass. It makes me want to drink beer until I'm sick. I mean really puking. So it's coming out of me like liquefied petroleum gas. Like those undergrads up in Montreal for the weekend from UMass. Those guys are friggin' hilarious. Who drink until they pass out in the grass. Next day wake up with shards of beer bottle glass stuck in their ass and then lament, alas, I may have to miss Monday morning chemistry class. And then my chemistry teacher will lambast me in front of my peers when I come back because that guy loves to sass us about how we don't care to unlock the secrets of matter and mass, but just want to fumble with the clasps of drunken girls' bra straps. Oh God, please let me pass my final exam, the last chemistry test I'll ever have to pass, because I'm switching to modern languages, because I'm really strong at compare and contrast. Oh God, please let there be a question about the molecular breakdown of liquefied petroleum gas.